This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You mentioned the Yanks a little bit, BT. We've got the Mets looking for the sweep this afternoon as well. So we've got a little afternoon baseball that you and I could watch. Now, there's only one TV in the studio, though.
There is, so we'll be going back and forth is what we'll be doing.
Yeah, I think we just leave it right here on
SNY.
I'm
not going to watch the Yankees. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I mean, what?
We're going back and forth
is what
we're
doing. Why do you pull the Yankees on? The Yankees are on prime today. Pull them up on your laptop.
I was thinking the same thing. So we will distribute this 50-50 is what we will do, provided Hop, who's probably in cahoots with you as a Met fan. See, the problem is...
He doesn't care. They got three TVs in there. Yeah. How do Hop and Dove have... All right, two TVs. I was exaggerating for effect. How do you guys have two TVs and we only got one in here? What's going on? I've got 18 TVs that I'm not even using them at, like, smaller ones. I should bring them in.
They're both very small, though, in there.
Fair enough.
You mean at home you've got all those?
Yeah, well, the ones that I used to use for... You know, different setups dictate different things. So you
have NFL season. I got you.
Right. So I had a room with smaller TVs.
Okay.
And now they're just kind of like sitting there, not being used.
Yeah.
Maybe I just bring them in here and at least put one TV in studio, a smaller TV. We can connect it and at least have the option to watch multiple things. No.
Well, why do we have to do everything? We have to order pizza. We have to bring in the TV. I mean, can somebody else do something?
I'm afraid to answer that. Otherwise, we might have to be doing a lot.
Hey, by the way, how many TVs do you actually have in your home now?
That are currently working?
Yeah, that are operable, that you flip on at least once or twice a week.
One, two, three, four, five, probably.
You have five. Hop, how many do you have?
I lost count.
There's so...
More than five?
Yeah, a lot more now.
Yeah, and because you have you have your setup downstairs where you have multiple TVs
right? I have at least three. I have one in my bedroom now. I have one of my... each kid has a TV.
Oh, a little aunt has a TV?
Well,
where do you think he plays his PS5? I have three PS5s in my house.
No TV for Colt yet? Too
no
young?
Way. Yeah. Or my daughter. No chance in hell. I mean, that's just my thought. Like, you know, I mean, and Hop, I'm certainly not casting aspersions. I get it. I mean, you got to play video games somewhere, but I've got... Let me see. One.
We used to play video games right on my main TV. That was it as a kid.
Same with us. So like that little flick UHF or VH, whatever it was.
Daddy wanted to watch TV. Nintendo wasn't going on.
No, that's true. Hold on. I've got one, two, three. I'll count the one outside, four. Downstairs is five. Another one downstairs is six. This is embarrassing. Jeez.
Multiple. You have a multiple setup?
I don't.
I went away from that myself.
Seven in our bedroom, eight in the loft. We've got eight. The reason there's two in the basement, one in the main area, which you've seen, but then the other in the workout area.
Yeah.
Not even great. TVs are cheap.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. TVs are cheap
They've
now.
They've gotten cheaper, I should say. Maybe not cheap.
Either way, we have one in here.
Yeah. And back to what we said, we'll be watching both
Yankees.
Why don't
you bring in one of your 15? I'll bring in a small one. We could have four or five in here.
No, but we still haven't resolved this because I need the answer. The Yankees are on Prime.
And we got SNY on right here. I don't know what else to tell you. How do we get Prime up in here? Hoff,
I don't know. I can barely get Prime at home.
Can we access Prime in the studio?
I don't know if we can.
I don't.
Yeah, okay, whatever. That's why I said he's working in cahoots, and I'm going to have to get an engineer in here, and that's what we'll do. Hey, by the way, you see the tweet from your buddy yesterday?
Who?
Hoff.
Yeah.
You see this great tweet?
No, that I saw him rip Clay Holmes, I think. Yeah.
That's what he said. Clay Holmes is not a starting pitcher. Yeah, 10 strikeouts. Yeah. What, he struck out 6-7 guys in a row at one point?
Well, I said that way before he had any strikeouts.
Hey, props for not deleting it, though. He kept it up.
I would never delete it. By the way, good for him. He went 5 innings. I'm very, very proud of him.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about this. He's, as SNY is replaying the game from yesterday, he's not, Hoff is actually correct. He's not really a starting pitcher. He's an opener. It's a big secret that nobody wants to acknowledge.
Well, the openers go one or two, like the Rays back in the day, the Dodgers, and the. He's not an opener.
What I think, we talked about the mathematical equation for the Mets, and I'm not knocking it because it's working. Mm. Mets, nice ho-hum, easy start to the season, haven't even gotten
AAA
going
schedule.
Yet.
Triple-A schedule, that's true,
and
I got you.
Take advantage of that, that's fine. I mean, Brewers and Pirates aren't much better. Hey, look, and by the way, the thing is that the Mets.
Either the Diamondbacks, necessarily.
Usually the Mets lose to these teams, so to just see them playing.
They're playing well.
Yeah, they're playing solid. They're playing winning games, that's all that matters.
Yep,
playing well enough to win these games. And, you know, but their mathematical equation with the way that they utilize the starters and the bullpen, it is indicative of openers. I know what you're saying, you know, the term opener is generally thought of to be a one or two inning guy. What's the difference with 4 2/3? How many times is the Mets going to go have somebody go 4 innings here? Whether it's Peterson, whether it's Holmes, whoever it may be, 4 or 5 innings, you know, is that what the new starting pitcher is? I don't believe
Pretty much. They're not afraid of it. Matter of fact, I think they embrace it. Hoff, can you do
that? But that's
why
I'm saying openers is really, I mean, a start usually goes 6 or 7. That's not happening.
Well, does it really? A start usually, maybe that's where we got to recalibrate. Okay. They used to, but I mean, we're talking about a baseball card game. Yeah, they used to go 7.
4 2/3.
When we were collecting cards in the 80s. Not anymore. Who goes 7?
Look, 4 2/3 is,
I should be probably 5 2/3 what it should be.
And I get that it's been effective, so I'm not knocking that. But when you see the stat line for a starting pitcher, that's in the fours in innings.
Yep.
It's not, like, that's not
sustainable or appealing or.
I was going to say it's not good. It used to be god awful.
Yeah, you get booed off the mound, actually. What would happen?
It's like, oh, look at Clay Holmes and this stuff. I guess the sport has evolved to that degree.
It has.
I still hesitate to. Max Fried's not going to go 4 innings today. He better.
Max Fried doesn't look phenomenal. I don't know what Max Fried's going to do today. He better put up some zeros, and the Yankees better hit Flaherty. I mean, he gets swept by the Tigers. That's not a good look.
He better go 6 today. Well, what'd you say there?
Do you know who went 4 innings yesterday?
Who?
Dylan Cease. He gave up, went 4 innings, gave up 9 runs.
Jeez. Here's the thing why I think there's so much more upside with Holmes. Now, you don't want him to go 4 2/3 every game. I'm going to grant you that, but. I think there's a refinement that's coming. And you see when he gets in a roll or on a roll, again, what did he strike out? 6 or 7 guys in a row at one point, I think it was? I think it was. Now, he's got to find that zone early. And if he does, pitch count's lower, you get more depth. But Hoff, I think he'll get there eventually. Not 7 or 8 innings, I don't think. But can you, Hoff, not now, just at some point, find me, because I've done this before over, you know, a batting average or home runs or other pertinent stats. The league average through the years, there's a database from like the late 1800s till now. Can you just, at some point, however you connect the dots, the average length by starting pitcher, say in 1990, and then maybe 2000, and then now? I just want to see how it's gone the wrong direction.
By the way, Luis Torrens is day-to-day. Sanger's still in there for today at catching for the Mets. Again, their game against the Marlins, looking for the sweep out at Citi Field, 1:10. So you got both the Mets and Yanks at 1 o'clock, and really the same lineup pretty much for the Mets. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Marte, Vientos, Beatty in there at second base, Tyrone Taylor in there in center field, and as we mentioned, Senger with Tyler McGill on the mound. Let's get back to the Knicks calls, BT. 888-808-1019. Knicks coming off a strong effort last night, but yet again, another loss to a top team. We've been discussing the Knicks and all the different things that go into that as we look forward to the postseason coming up next week. Chris is in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. I was calling about Leon Rose and how he's done a good job. But the one mistake he made was that he didn't replace DiVincenzo's big shot threes, because he hit a lot of big shot threes last year. And two, Hartenstein instead of Robinson would open up the floor for this team, because you could play Towns on the outside when Hartenstein gives you offense on the inside.
Yeah, but Chris, hold on.
Your opinion on that?
I disagree.
I do agree, Chris, but I think you're being a little unfair to Leon Rose here. Now, Leon Rose, we'll see if he ultimately made the. Now, you had to trade Rand. Given what you gave up for Karl Anthony Towns, you had to do it. We'll see if he can elevate them to a championship. My gut says no, but hopefully I'm wrong. But the Hartenstein thing, it's strange, because you have to give him credit for identifying him as a useful player early, which he did.
Yeah.
I think he was getting $6, $7, $8 million a year, which is kind of peanuts at that point. And based on the CBA, the Knicks could literally not pay him more than $16 million. So it's not like the Knicks made a conscious decision. We don't value Hartenstein's skill set. We opt to go this way. It's that other teams are like, yo, we're giving this guy 25 or 30 because he's worth it. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and I also don't think that he would have, while I like Hartenstein and know what he brought to the table,
I loved him.
This iteration of the Knicks, I don't think would have been more effective with him. And also, let's say that the money wasn't a thing. Would they have still traded for Karl-Anthony Towns if they had Hartenstein back? And then how do you think
that's a good question.
So that's kind of my point where I just feel like that version of the team is completely changed, where Hartenstein was such an integral part of the offense a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have, and we had this argument in the offseason, I'd rather have Mitch and his what he brings defensively and rebounding-wise than I would the offense, because they're so different now offensively with both Towns and Bridges.
Yes, but the thing that I always loved about Hartenstein, and quite frankly, before he got here, I didn't really know he had this to this degree. I'm not talking about the flip shots or the toughness or the rebounds or the picks. Good passer.
Yeah.
And because the Knicks have two wings who can shoot in OG and Bridges, I think that would have been a good match.
But he's no threat offensively down.
But he still scored 10, 12 points. Yeah. I mean, you look at his playoff game block. Hartenstein, he's a better free throw shooter than Mitch. Now, not quite the defender, but a good defender.
Right, but not as good defensively, not as good as a rebounder, as impactful as Mitchell Robinson. Now, health, a different story, but right now Mitchell Robinson, knock on wood, because last night took a little tumble. I was worried about that.
I know.
Well, he's so fragile.
Yeah, no.
But
he's not playing big minutes at all.
I would rather have this group myself. We've gone back and forth about
this. I know
this.
We have.
I'm not knocking the old group. I just think that this group is more... Well, I know that they're more talented. It's going to be a matter of, let's see, to what degree will it work. I'll take my chances with this iteration of the Knicks team.
Yeah, and there's an expiration point because it's not going to change, and we've already hit the expiration point. We're just reacting to the call there, like Hartenstein's God, DiVincenzo's God. It's what it is. The difference, though, for me, and there's a lot of things about Mitchell Robinson that I really do like, but you got 3 minutes to go in a game, and you're up, you know, anywhere from either down 3 or 4 to up 3 or 4. I can't have Mitchell Robinson on the court. I would love Hartenstein on the court. He's making layups. He's making passes. He's going to be a better free throw shooter, and he's a great passer.
Would you rather have DiVincenzo or Josh Hart?
You know, I got to be honest with you. More and more for this team, I think I'd rather have DiVincenzo.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I know you love him, and I think it's a fair question to bring up. Remember, Hart last year was scoring a lot.
Yeah, coast to coast.
He has not been asked to do that. I love him as a player. But his deficiency shooting the best. Even last year when he was scoring and knocking him down,
yep.
I still, every time he took a shot, was like, ugh.
He's bad for spacing, and spacing in the NBA is imperative. You need it. Spacing in basketball, but especially at this level, he actually, not only does he not positively impact spacing, he actually hurts it.
Well, I mean,
because he's a non-threat to shoot.
Well, right, but isn't he the guy that's going to attack the rim and then kick it out, similar to maybe what Hartenstein would do, just in a different way?
That's a good point for the open looks in the corner,
yeah,
generally.
Exactly. Yeah, no, be listen. That guy in the paint that's going to drive and kick it out.
Yeah.
He's good at that. But DiVincenzo had, I guess the point in this particular case is they're both intense players.
Yeah.
But all right, so would you sacrifice what Hart does well for the uptick in shooting?
I would. I really would.
That's why I think it's a fair question. Now, again, could the Knicks have built the team that way, where instead of extending Hart the way that they did, maybe use him as a trade piece and extend DiVincenzo? Either way, there's no need to go back. It's over. It's a different iteration of this team. I'll take my chances with it. Stuart is in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Stewie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Stuart, been a while. How are you, buddy?
And how about yourself?
What's going on, man? All good. What's on your mind today about the Knicks?
Sal.
Yeah.
Thibodeau is not the coach, Sal. Come on. I've seen coaches. I saw Red Holzman. He motivated the team to no end. He got the best out of his bench. He played the bench. He took the starters out. He knew how to coach the team. I saw both championships, and let me tell you, he was the coach that blended the team with the bench and the starters, and he got the most out of everybody. And I'll also go with Riley. He played the bench except for that seventh game in 94, which I'm still playing.
It may cost him a championship. He ignored Blackman. I mean, you know, I mean, that's an easy thing to kind of gloss over. And thank you for the call, Stu. Well, Riley was amazing. You know, he just may not have made the good substitution in game 7. But it may cost him a championship.
Right. Would have been the difference, potentially. Now, again, I respected his decision. I trusted him more than anybody. I'm going down with my guys, too.
Yeah.
But we've seen both ways from good coaches you know, whether it's Patino this year.
The opposite of
exactly
Patino
right.
sat him, so you see, Pat Riley played him.
Yeah, and both ended up losing. I mean, what would have happened if it were the other way around? Who knows?
Yeah.
But I can't question that. I like a short bench myself. I like the rotation from last night with Tibbs that he had in this game. I think we'll get to a point where we can decipher some people already there, as evidenced by some of the callers. You may be more there than I am as of now, BT. But I think we're going to get to a definitive point where we all agree, whether you get there first or not, that, okay, it's time for a change if they don't get over the hump. I'm just not there yet. I'm not even close to that. Even if, now, if the Knicks lost in the first round, now it starts to be, I know you would be there where you'd probably fire him immediately.
Absolute change.
And I would not. So I'm getting closer there. But that to me is the, if the Knicks were to lose in the first round, now I'm open for
unacceptable.
The conversation. Yeah, see, now I'm open for the conversation. Other than that, I think everybody's quick to want the next guy in, and there are no guarantees. As a matter of fact, odds are you're not going to find better than Tom Thibodeau.
Okay, here's the problem with that. So let's say it's a second round. Because, again, first round to me would be untenable. And with Mike Malone now available, that's an easy switch. I don't know if they would do that, but if we get there, we'll get there. But if they lose in round two and you bring him back, which would, as long as the series is competitive, I'm not going to say get rid of him at that point. And assuming they would play hard, better team wins. All right.
Now he's squarely.
He's on the hot seat now. Yeah. Now it's another year and it's a championship destination. At least it should be. But the problem, and I might have to preemptively address this, if you bring him back and it still doesn't look perfect or right next year, you're going to make a change in the middle of the season and possibly waste another year. I don't think their window's that long to mess around with.
The NBA, I'm not going to disagree with that necessarily, but the NBA has gone the way of the NHL, where it used to feel like the NHL, they're firing and hiring coaches and recycling guys every month. It's ridiculous. In season, during the offseason, whatever, bringing guys back. The NBA now, look at all these former NBA champions that aren't even with their team still. And I know the Malone stuff, there's more to it with the behind-the-scenes bickering, which, by the way, you think that's going to work well? A part of what has made this Knicks organization, the turnaround for it, what's made them so good is the cohesive way that Leon Rose and Tibbs work together.
Mm-hmm.
If Dolan were to step in and fire Tibbs or force Rose's hand to fire Tibbs, now what was so successful is now up for grabs, and you have Rose kind of being forced to hire somebody else he doesn't feel as comfortable with. And then that could lead to some issues that could lead to longer-term issues.
Or it could get better. I understand there's a risk. I hear everything you just said. I get it. Like, one of the good things about this team is they're buttoned up and they're professional and they've got great chemistry, and Leon Rose has done a good job, and Dolan's kept his hands off the product for a while, let the people that he's hired do their job. But the object is to win a championship. I mean, that's the object.
Yeah.
And if you really don't think that Tom Thibodeau is the guy, sure, there's a risk it could get worse. There's also the possibility it could get better with somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, but look, what's the guarantee?
No guarantees.
Okay, just because Malone won an NBA championship?
That's pretty appealing. Yeah, he's also 10, 12 years younger. He's 52, he's from New Jersey.
Well, that I get. Yeah, local guy. All right, but Tibbs was up under the Van Gundy tree. Like, true. I like that, too. I'm not saying I wouldn't
investigate it.
Well, no. If they ever were going to make a change with Tibbs, yeah. I think Malone is the...
It's a home run.
Okay, but there's no guarantee that he's even going to be available.
I agree.
And I'm not looking to push Tibbs out just to go hire Malone now because he's younger and because he won a championship, where I value more. And we've had this conversation when it comes to the NFL. The program builder. For me, what makes Bill Parcells great is not the amount of Super Bowls that he won. It's the amount of franchises that he turned around and took out of the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Tibbs has done that more so than Malone. Malone has the championship, but I can make a very valid, solid argument that Tibbs is the better coach because of what he's done at all his other stops, building teams up.
He's a better builder, but then I can just kind of flip back and say, but I think that Malone's got a higher ceiling in big games.
Yeah.
And listen, the easy answer would be, prove it. And I could say, well, he's got a championship. All right, well, that's not always that simple. Right. Whatever. I get their circumstances. You also have Jokic, who's... might be the best player in the league.
Right.
I get it. And the West has not been as strong as the East the last couple of years. But I think that is a discussion that we're going to have again.
Would Malone take a job as an assistant on Tibbs' staff?
There's no chance in hell.
Yeah, I'd love to get him back in the building here.
There's no way. Quick one for you. So, we were talking before, Sal, before we get back to these phones, mostly about the Knicks, where Holmes, not quite an opener, but, you're going to need more than 4 2/3, and same with Peterson. So, Hop did a little digging. I wanted to connect some historical dots here. We all know the starting pitcher no longer goes as long as he used to when we were younger. But let's get the actual facts. What have you come up with there, Hoffy?
All right, so I found back to the 10-year average from 50 to 59.
Ooh, I love it. Go ahead.
Which was 6.5. Now, listen, they don't do like 6 1/3, 6 2/3.
50 to 59.
I'm going to write it all down.
1950 to 59.
Okay. You don't like this stuff?
You
got to
go all the way back there?
Well, you could paint the picture or no?
You're going back 100 years. You could have started in the 80s. That's even 40 years ago. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, that makes a point here. All right, so 6.5.
6.5.
So again, they don't go by thirds, so it's just 6.5, 6.5.
Got it.
60 to 69, 6.4.
Yep.
70 to 79, back to 6.5.
Oh, up 1/10 of a point or inning, whatever. Okay, 6.5, gotcha.
80 to 89, 6.2.
80 to 89, hold on, 6.2. Now steroids start to infiltrate the game. Go ahead.
90 to 99 is a 6, hard 6.
Mm. Hard 6.
Strong 6. 2000 to 2009... 5.9.
Idiot, man.
Okay.
Where was that last one? I wouldn't even
5.9.
5.9.
Okay. Just south of 6.
Just south of 6.
2010 to 2019, 5.6.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Seven.
Okay.
2020 to 2023, five.
So
I mean, that's a very soft five.
That's where we're going.
To be honest with you,
that's a very disappointing five, I'm sure some would say.
Weren't you, BT, a little surprised at the low number from the 50s? I would guess it would have been higher.
Without the specialists and without... Yeah, I thought, 50 to 59 was 6.5, just for those who didn't miss it. I wrote all this stuff down.
Which I guess is still high, but...
Well, that's above average.
Yeah.
6.5. So, I would have thought maybe a little more. Remember, the DH didn't come until 73 with Ron Bloomberg. Yeah. So you're going through pitchers back in the day. There's no relief specialists here. I don't know if I would have thought quite seven, but maybe a tick higher.
So the peak was 50, 59?
Yeah, that was the highest, yes.
And then it got close the following decade, right?
Yeah, the next decade was 6.4, and then it went back up to 6.5 from 70 to 79.
So from the peak at 6.5,
yep.
We're at the low.
Down to 5 for the last 3 years. So 2020, pandemic, whatever, to now.
It's an inning and a half.
An inning and a couple of outs there. Probably an inning and 2/3. Yeah, so basically Holmes is right on the average. He's good. Basically.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I guess. But look, he's an opener to me. So if you're going 4 2/3,
yeah,
or 4 1/3, if you can't complete 5, and even in my mind, then again, I got to change my standards. But by the way, I used to be, hey, I need 6-7 innings.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'll take 5+.
Yeah, but hold on. You would say you need 6-7 innings, but they didn't even get 7 innings in the 50s.
Yeah, well, maybe from the best guy. That's the point. Like, I wouldn't ask. If Clay Holmes was their 5th starter,
yeah,
I wouldn't ask for more than 5 innings. Problem is they get 5 5th starters. All these guys are going 5 innings. Freed today, unacceptable for me for anything less than 6 innings. And really, it should be 6 2/3, mm-hmm. 7 innings. You want to be an ace, you're getting paid $218 million or whatever it is. No Gerrit Cole, your team's on a losing streak. You've got to go out there and be the stopper. That's why the Yankees invested big in starting pitching, in Max Fried in particular in this case. Go out there and be the stopper. So I don't want to see 4 2/3, 5 innings. What is that? No, that's not. put it this way. The Mets could pay dirt for guys to go out there and give them 4 2/3 and 5 innings. They've done it. So if I'm going to pay, if I'm the Yankees, I'm paying $218, you better be damn sure I want more than 5 innings.
Now, yes, that is an epidemic, but we can't fight City Hall. This is not going to change. Pitch counts and the way these young players are babied in the minors. Like, listen, our dads and grandfathers, you sit down, you watch Steve Carlton in his prime, Nolan, Gibson, you know, Drysdale, Koufax. And then into the 70s, guys like Guidry, who I saw more in the 80s. But I just felt like when Guidry got the baseball and Dwight Gooden got the baseball and Fernando Mania kicked in the early 80s, he's going more than 6 or 7. Like, yeah, I get it, but it has changed quite a bit. However, we are so wrapped up in our Yankee and Met bubble, all the other teams in baseball, like it's the entire average. So if the other teams are doing this, then I think the better way to look, and they are, because the numbers say it, I think the better way to look at it as well, do the Mets and the Yankees have better offenses than a lot of these teams? And for the most part, the answer is yes. Do the Yanks and the Mets have better options at closer than most of these teams? And, you know, Devin Williams better get his act together here, and Diaz could be a little jumpy as well. But the answer for me would be yes. Do they have more higher leverage guys, whether it's a Ryan Stanek or Luke Weaver? My answer will be yes. So it seems like it's a big problem for the Mets and for the Yankees, but it's a baseball thing.
Yeah. Jose Buteau. Also a good leverage guy for the Mets.
Sure.
Did you hear the name change in Buteau?
More like accenting the O, the second.
I guess,
the, okay,
yes.
Well,
I mean,
that's
was
the man's
right.
It's his name.
Buteau.
Buteau, like Pluto.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now it's Buteau. I heard
that sounds
Gary
very
Cohen
sophisticated,
saying.
I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Doesn't sound as intimidating. Hey, don't you think you'd
get
rather,
some outs. That's all I care about.
I hear you, but I think if I'm a hitter, would I rather dig in against some guy named Buteau or Buteau? I think Budo's coming at me more.
Yeah.
But maybe Jose change
Buteau,
your name again, buddy.
Maybe a little more finesse. BT and Sal.
Jamie Moyer style.
BT and Sal, the fan, 888-808-1019. Joe is in Shirley. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Joe.
I wanted to piggyback here off the Clay Holmes stuff. Now, I agree with actually both of you. I think Clay Holmes 100% needs to throw more strikes. But I also think Clay Holmes has been fed with a little bad luck at his second Miami start. If you remember, he was going to cruise through that fifth inning. He had a little bunt single, a little dinky ball in the gap. He was giving off some soft contact. Yes, he needs to get through the innings. Mm-hmm. And also yesterday, not going to lie too, his first hitter in the sixth inning, that was a borderline pitch that could have went either way. And then a ball in the gap, to be honest, I think Soto could have had that ball. So, I think Clay Holmes needs to throw more strikes. But I do think he's also getting fed with a little unluckiness. But he's got to attack early.
But, by the way, let's just clarify, Joe, and thank you for the call. Good points there. Nobody's knocking Clay Holmes. I mean, that was not the point. When I'm saying he's an opener, that's not a knock. It's an assessment of what the Mets are doing with their staff, where they've got guys that I view as borderline starters, more openers. It's been effective, and Clay Holmes is good, so I'll take it. I'll take Clay Holmes for 4 2/3 over the alternate option, especially considering what they paid here. But this was not to knock Clay Holmes or say he necessarily needs to be better. He's a reliever turned starter,
and it's freezing out, yeah, and it's windy out, and it's April 9th.
So what do you expect?
Doing fine,
but let's not pretend.
Get 10 whiffs,
but let's call it what it is. I mean, I think in effect the Mets have a bunch of openers in their rotation. Maybe not in the traditional 1 or 2 inning sense, but they know that when Clay Holmes takes the mound,
yeah,
he isn't threatening to go 6 or 7. They know that the backup behind him is going to be Brazoban, who's going to give you 2-plus innings. That has been their formula here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that you're going to, like, there is no, get me to 7th inning and I'm going to give you the top 3 relievers or top 2 guys into the closer.
You mean more than that you need?
I know. They know this, which means it's kind of an opener.
For now, you know, and I think that's why Manaea's eventual return, even if it's in 2 months, which it could be, and he comes back and he's the same guy that was, you know, he was over his final 17 starts, yeah, with a new windup, then I think that changes it, because I think he's got the ability to go deep here. Now, again, it's going to be an issue if it's like this all year, but let's give the guy, and this is what you're alluding to, let's give the guy a chance to build up. He had 25 starts at A-ball in 2013. He had 26 starts at AA in 2016. He had 24 starts in AAA in 2017. And he had 16 starts for the Pirates, in 2018. So, and since then, none. I mean, this is a big transition. I don't know what the comp would be, you know, in another sport going from this role to that role, but endurance is a key thing, and he's also on a new team and a new league, so let's give the man a little room to grow.
Yeah, and also, just to further the point, while I'm not knocking, neither of us are knocking Clay Holmes.
I love the guy. I told you from day one, I thought he was going to be good for you.
Carlos Rodon's line the other day, he went 6 innings, 5 earned runs.
Yep, okay, 6 total
runs.
6
runs total, but 5 earned runs.
Yep.
So, as much as I'm complaining about the opener, would I rather pay Rodon what he's getting and have 6 innings and 5 earned runs, 6 total, or pay Clay Holmes and get 4 2/3,
mm-hmm,
and his line?
Oh, you know the answer.
Yeah, it's
the
not
answer's
even,
Holmes.
It's not even close. So that's the point. It's not about him not being effective. I'm just saying that the way that we are going in baseball, where David Stearns is playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers, and he's not alone, but it is essentially finding guys who could give you 4 or 5 quality innings at a good value, which are kind of openers, versus a true starter where you're going to have to overpay that maybe give you 6 plus innings, whatever it is, more consistently, more routinely, but maybe some volatile nature in there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think this is another example of how much sports has changed. There's a reliance on, you know, specific roles and diminished expectations in terms of playing every night. You know, the NBA with the off nights. Baseball pitchers don't go as deep. It's a different world here. So I think that we, you and I, have adjusted well to it, because I do think that we understand it is what it is. And I don't have a problem with this being it is what it is. I got a problem with Rodon, you know, and that's not sacking up when he misses a right call and unwinding and unraveling. That bothers me. I think Clay Holmes has been good.
A good question.
3 random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
1, 2, 3.
On The Fan.
All right, well, 3 random questions for you, as always, on this Wednesday at 11:40. Number one, we're talking about this a little bit on the morning show. If you're, as it pertains to Ian Eagle and his son Noah, who are both up for Emmys.
Oh, they are? They are? Did not know that. Okay, good for them.
As a dad, who would you be rooting for, yourself or your son, to win that elusive Emmy?
That's not even close, my son or my daughter. Daddy's already got one. Daddy's good. I do have one, but no.
Yeah.
Anything for my children at this point. I want them to be better than me in everything.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, and I know I was reading about it. I didn't actually hear the segment. I thought it'd be a fun thing to talk about. Uh-huh. First of all, it's a cool honor.
Yeah.
Imagine that, to both be in the same category, being nominated for an Emmy, father and son.
Yeah, it's like the Griffies or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that is
phenomenal.
Insane. Like,
yeah.
I wish that would happen with my daughter one day.
It might.
Yes, well, whatever.
Maybe.
I mean,
you might.
By that point, I'll either be dead or retired, I would think. You got a long way to go. I mean, Sammy's only four.
Uh-huh.
She'll be four next week, actually. But, yeah, and I'm, what, 45.
You got time.
Is it even realistically a possibility? Let's
age wise for you? Yeah,
yeah,
she can get one in her 20s, early mid
20s. So let's say 25 years. Let's say 20 years.
She'll be almost 25.
24 year old, there's no chance. She's got
Yeah. Who knows?
It'd probably take 25 years minimum.
Well, Noah's young.
That is true. But remember,
the difference is Noah's daddy's actually a star.
Correct.
You're not.
Right.
That's just decent. And by the way, that's not a shot at like I'm just messing around.
That's exactly right. She'd have to
grind a little more, you're saying.
Yeah. Well, she wouldn't. I had to, but 25 years from now,
uh-huh.
if she were to be as successful as Daddy on TV to potentially win an Emmy, which by the way, I'm looking for another one. I mean, enough of this Bill Pito winning. I got to get number two up there.
Bill Pito, strays here.
But I'm with you. I don't even think it's a debate. So they were having a conversation. I'm not sure. Bill Pito's beat me twice in a row here.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that. It was that personal. I mean, I see him on MSG.
Yeah,
he
does a great job. Nice guy.
He's good guys. Good guys. Been around. He's been there for a long time.
And it's not a longevity award.
Oh, here we go.
Come on.
Now,
an ability award.
He does the... Does he do the range? I'd see him with the Knicks.
The MSG 150.
That's a good job.
Yeah, great job.
He got up again.
2 years in a row he's going to beat me for it? I mean, have you watched Baseball Night in New York? Emmy real people? Anyway, I need a second one. I have a space for it planned out and everything. I've been waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully get nominated. Anyway, I don't even think it's a question. You got to root for your kid.
Of course. There's no doubt about it. Somebody asked me the other day, maybe, I don't know, if your son's drafted by the Red Sox. I'm the biggest Red Sox fan in the world.
Yankees, right.
Forget about the Yankees at that point. It's all about the kids.
Here's the one part of it. You and I are looking at it through a lens of a parent of a young child.
Correct.
If Colt were to come up and be...
Or my daughter.
Okay, whatever.
Don't leave her
out.
I'm
just using Colt because he's the closest to that age.
I got you.
30 years old, mm-hmm. you really want him to one-up daddy?
Like, I do. I want him to two-up daddy.
See,
yeah, I do.
I don't know if
I really
there.
Do. I swear to God. Every energy and everything in my body, no question.
There could be.
That's really why I do what I do.
Yeah.
So that they will have a chance to, and I'm not just talking about in sports, to really have that chance. That means more to me than anything.
Oh, not me. I do it because I love to do it. I've always wanted to do this. You're on your own. Daddy was on his own.
We already got one, though.
No, I know. But I'm talking about if I'm eyeing, potentially the thought process could be, all right, little bro, got to keep you in your place. I'm the legend.
He is in his place.
I made you.
It's true.
I made you. I paved the way.
True.
You're now reaping. You're good.
Yeah, he's good, Van. No, he's good.
I'm daddy. I'm me. I'm Iron Eagle, the star.
I'm sure he's aware of that.
So maybe, all right, me too, but maybe there's a part of him that's like, hey, maybe next time, young fella. You know what I'm saying?
He would have a little fun with it. Yeah. You're in the golf court. You make it the turn. Hey, listen, you play for, all right, well, talk some smack. That's fine, but I can promise you, Noah didn't call the championship game the other night. Daddy did.
I understand that, but then Noah starts to maybe, he wins an Emmy, he's like, hey, Dad, look at what I got. Now he starts to be like, all right, got to put you back in your place, son. You know what I'm saying?
Man, you are twisted sometimes.
That was number one. Number two, and I saw this from the Post. If you were dating a girl that was rich, would you feel, rich beyond belief,
mm-hmm.
would you feel obligated to still buy her the engagement ring?
1,000%, man. Is that even a question?
Yeah.
For you?
Why not?
That's the manly thing to do.
Well, manly thing. What do we mean? We want equality, right? Everything's all equal now. Manly thing to do.
Equality.
If she's rich beyond belief, and I'm, scuffling to try to get however much you think you want to pay. Like if she says, "Well, I want this type of ring," I don't know, throw a number out, $50,000.
I'd say like a 3-carat ring. That's probably about $50,000. Because I remember what I got, and I didn't get a small one.
So you went over $50,000.
I didn't go over. I got almost 3 carats.
Well, what are we looking at roughly?
I'm not going to give you the number on the air. I will say this:
over 20.
I'm not going to give you the number on the air, but I will say this:
I was under for the record.
Okay, now I.
We think this is here. I mean, come on.
We actually got the ring from, now again, she's from Dallas.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yeah, yeah.
She used to sell for ESPN. She was very successful in the sales industry. Her biggest client was a jeweler in Dallas that outfitted Tony Romo. Remember when Tony Romo was with Jessica Simpson?
Yeah, how could I forget?
Well, yeah, are you a Jessica Simpson fan?
Oh, yeah.
Huge?
Yeah.
Really?
Newlyweds, Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, now, yeah. Well, the Daisy Dukes. I got you there. But anyway, she her biggest client had the biggest jewelry store in Dallas, and I went to him. So I definitely got a bit of a deal.
Mm.
Not enough of a deal where daddy didn't take a massive hit.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely the biggest purchase of my life, but I dropped a lot on it. But anyway, to get the question right.
Like some guy, the story comes from, there was an article in the Post where a kid's dating this girl who's rich, and he's taking.
Again, how rich?
He's taking crap. I don't know.
Rich or wealthy?
He's taking crap because he's saying because she's rich, she should, you know.
Well, I mean, this guy. Grow a backbone, dude. I mean,
if you don't have it, you don't have it. You want to get married, it should be more about than just finances and buying the ring.
I agree with that.
If she wants a certain kind. Here's what I would say. If I'm him in this spot, I'd be like, look, honey, I love you. I want to get married to you. I will get you the ring that I can afford to get you.
Yeah.
If you want a different ring outside of my spending realm, then that's on you.
Nah, dude, you can't. I mean, come on, Sal.
What do you mean you can't?
She's going to contribute to her own ring?
Oh, if she wants. Otherwise, she takes the one that I get her. What do you mean?
Well, we don't know that she would turn it down. So a couple things. How old is he? Age matters. If he's 25 or is he 40? How old is she?
I think younger, so let's say 25.
That's a tough spot. When I was 25, I didn't have a pot to paint.
Okay.
So I could barely get the bar tab, but let alone get a diamond ring.
Maybe you agree to take out a loan or something, be like, all right, is this the one you want? Yeah, sure, I'll pay that back in 50 years.
You're missing the biggest point, dude. You take a loan no matter where you can get it on the street and get hit with a heavy point system like Tony. And
did you take out a loan?
No, I didn't. Okay. No, I'm saying you could.
Say, I didn't know
no,
you could
I didn't.
That.
I did not. No,
I
didn't.
Cash for that thing.
I
finally built up some savings, and 100%. Now this.
Now it's gone.
At that point.
No, I know. It was a big den. But the point is that if you give it to her and she says yes, that means you're married. And if she's truly as affluent as you're telling me that she is, you're gonna reap the reward. So suck it up on the front end. You're living like a king on the back end.
Yeah, good point. It's an easy
transaction.
Although if you do get divorced, then that could lead to some issues.
Well, as long as she doesn't have a prenup, which she might.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, make sure she does.
All right, last one for you. And this is kind of opposite. This is a personal thing here. This is kind of opposite of the way we were talking about collecting money. Remember we had some fun with Moose and you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So,
well, you were making fun of Moose, is what you were doing.
No, I was not making fun of Moose. I was speaking accurately on that.
Yeah.
All right, so we have, you know, Certapro is going to be doing some work
at our house. Some painting. I hear the spots all the time.
Right,
yeah.
So I had a colorist, this girl, Trish, who's great. She, when we first did painting, come to our house, whatever. And she advised us on what color, because I don't know, like, whatever.
Right? No, that's my wife will pick it up.
Yeah, paint it black.
I have no idea.
All right, so my wife.
Paint it black? You're painting it black?
Some of the trim we're doing outside the
house. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So Trish recommended some colors. Like, it's not just black. There's multiple.
I got you.
Okay. So as she's giving me the advice, this is all through text, and sending these colors, and I'm telling her what we need to do. Then I follow up with, okay, let me know how much I owe you for your time. Invoice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was once. Nothing back. Second time we're having the conversation, hey, Trish, we're going to go with this color. Thanks again. Let me know, send me the invoice. Let me know how much. Not, again, ignoring it.
Okay.
Three times I have followed up with Trish, the colorist. And not once has she sent an invoice, said how much I owe her, nothing. At what point do I just say, all right.
See, Trish, I tried.
I think
you're at that point.
I mean, but I got to pay, no?
You do what? Well, first of all, I don't know the arrangement that you have with Serta. You guys have a relationship now.
Well, she's not from Serta.
Oh, she's not from Serta.
Trish is separate. Serta Pro
is doing
their thing.
That might change my opinion.
No, Trish is independent.
So she's a consultant.
Yes.
It can't be how long, what kind of work, how many different color schemes that you give? Like, what kind of work did you put in?
It's not a major thing. And she did work for us before, but still.
Oh, okay.
What's fair is fair. She took time to come up with this
100%. And what's fair is fair. You tried to do the right thing, not once, but twice, and maybe a third time. I think the onus is on her. I mean, it seems like you really, truly, I mean, no, I'm not kidding.
She's
like,
just
it seems like you tried to do the right thing.
I said twice, she answers the color stuff. Oh, yeah, great, blah, 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 let me know. And I'm like, okay, well, where do I send me the invoice. Let me know how I pay you.
Were you rude to her? Maybe she's
not at all.
Just get away from this guy.
Not at all. She's been great. No.
Sure.
So one more follow-up at least before I
move
on.
You made two or three.
You know, I got these things on my to-do list that I want to move on from.
You've given her two or three.
At least two.
All right, if it's going to make you feel better, fine. Now, when you follow up, what do you write? Is it the same? Do you copy and paste, or do you say,
hey, Trish,
I really need to, I want to do the right thing. Yeah. I appreciate the work.
I want to get this off my to-do list.
And if she doesn't respond to that,
I owe you.
Sucker.
Yeah. BT and Sal, the fan. All right, let's get back to the phones here real quick, BT, before we take a break. Omar is calling from Brooklyn, talking about our top story of the day, the Knicks. What's up, Omar?
How are you?
Good
morning, Chuck. How are you?
Good.
Both of you guys. First, the whole season, I have told you that I will not sold at this team. Starting from when Brunson got hurt in the Lakers game, that was the first game of this the whole season that I have watched that they became physical and they were beating the Lakers with physicality. Last 10, 15, 20 games, this team is different. Yesterday, you see that they can play with them. And the Tibbs, I have a lot of negatives about Tibbs to say. But I think mentally and physically, this team is ready to play.
Yeah, they're ready. Omar, you're right. They're ready. They're ready to lose in round two. They're ready.
They're not ready to lose. Come on. Listen, I'm not going to go towards your St. John's. I called it before the game that St. John's is going to lose.
Maybe
that
if the Knicks
game.
Had Zuby, they'd be in better spot.
Yeah, like you have been so negative about, and you don't want to hear about it.
I've been honest.
California is better than you can go destroy. Yes. I said a lot of negative things about this Knicks. I was not sold at Karl Anthony Town.
And after a loss, you're sold.
I called him the soft. Karl Anthony Town is not the same soft player that he was 6 years back. In this season, he can play the game. Yes, he has a lot of weaknesses. He doesn't get tough rebounds. That Mitch Robinson, from the time Mitch Robinson has come back, this is a total different game. Let's bring the first. I go series by series.
Hold on a sec, buddy. Yeah. Hold on. Listen, I know you're a big Knicks fan. I love the passion.
Okay.
Dude, you sound nuts. I mean, the Knicks, wanted to win. The Celtics didn't even want to be on the court last night. They still lost.
Celtics coach wanted to make sure that the Knicks does not even have a chance to smell that the Knicks can beat the Boston Celtics. Knicks had the chance to beat the Celtics last night. They did not beat them. When you are a talent-wise, I'll come to that. You said that, okay, Tatum is far superior than Brunson and Brown, you will take over the next five players. Yeah, Ananobi, what you are thinking about Ananobi, how he has grown up this year.
KP still with the Knicks.
KP, what happened? KP with what? KP.
I kind of wish he was still with the Knicks.
Yeah, still with the Knicks, yes. As a main player, he plays 50 games like Mitchell Robinson, too. All right? So don't tell me that he's not an injury-prone player. We gave him he gave him all the keys, and then he was struggling. He was he was not even comfortable. He was not even professional to show in the last meeting with Phil Jackson. Okay, give me a break. We gave him all the keys. I don't want Porzingis anytime. That is a past girlfriend that is gone by, and I don't want to think about it.
One question for you, and we love the passion as always. And I want you to talk to BT when you answer this. Can the New York Knicks, in your opinion, compete for an NBA championship?
They will not even compete for the championship. They will win it all this year.
Omar, go get them. Come on.
And my friend, forget about St. John's. Let's ride with a New York Knicks fan. Come on, New York Knicks. God,
I
am
a Knicks fan,
yesterday. Come on, let's go.
All right, buddy. There you go. Hey, I'll get you some Johnny tickets next year, Omar.
I had a feeling that Omar was going
to... took him a while to get revved up. I was trying to take the bait, but...
I love Omar.
He's a good guy.
He is fun. But he's one who was like you in the beginning, skeptical.
Yeah.
And now he is... come around.
After a loss. Makes perfect sense.
Well, the fact that the Knicks are whole. We'll get into that as we reset, get down with the king topic of the day when we come back.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.